Fine. So we were up to halacha bet. And now we go back to which things are kadosh and which are not. So as I mentioned, we're going to talk about trees, wood. So here's where you get it. Lulave zradim v'charuvim. Shoots of the service tree, which is some sort of white flowered sawtooth leaf thing with edible fruit. Great. Yesh lehen shviit, because they are apparently edible. Like the wood itself seems to be edible. Or these, whatever. Ulidmehen shviit, and the money therefore. And yesh lehen biur, and they're subject to biur because they wither and fall off the tree. They don't last through the winter. Lulave ha ulidmehen biur. Lulave ha elav ha botvina va atadim, but the terebinth, pistachio and thornbush, yesh lehen shviit, because they're edible. Ulidmehen shviit. But ein lehem biur, because they last through the winter. Below the demand biur, and therefore the money doesn't have biur. Avala alin yesh lehem biur, but the leaves, which are also edible, those do wither, and therefore mivnei shein noshin me'aviyen, since they fall off from the source, so therefore they will wither, and therefore they will have a time when they're not edible, and therefore they have a time when they are subject to biur. Haverid va'kofer va'ktaf alotet, the rose and the henna, you know henna. Yeah, henna, which apparently is also, right? And balsam and stone pine. Yesh lehen shviit, have shmita, because they're cultivated for fragrance. And we already saw that certain things, or this is based on the earlier sugya. Now, does this prove it? Because remember, earlier in the Gemara, it said, what if things are grown only for scent? Do they have kedushat shviit? Doesn't this prove that they do? No, because the Chazon Ish notes, apparently, at least in the time of the Gemara, these were also used for condiments, because otherwise the Gemara would have used that brayta to prove it, right? I mean, this mission approved that question, because these are. Don't ask me. I don't know.
I don't know how you use henna as a condiment.
I don't know. It's a spice. I don't know. Look, you know, I wouldn't logically think roses are, except I know that you put them in tea, right? So I don't like rosehip tea for that reason, because it doesn't really have a taste. It's more of a color, right? It doesn't really. But some people really like it. Rosehips and hibiscus, which tastes like nothing to me. Yesh lehen shviit. Now, it doesn't say whether it's subject to biur. The Rosh says that they are subject to biur. The Tosfos Yom Tov, in a sense, the Rambam says it isn't. Okay, or it could depend on the earlier sugyot. Reb Shimon Bar Ein L'Ktaf Shviit. He says balsam does not have shviit, mibnei she'eino pri, because it just. It is inedible and provides no benefit. And the Tanakhama apparently assumes either it is because it's a fragrant, or he holds they use it as some sort of condiment, spice, something like that. Right. And he must, others say that no, that even if you do use it, it could be that wood definitionally doesn't have kedusha, and balsam is considered, right? The resin is considered halachically just a derivative of the wood itself. Now, what happens when you combine things, right? So we have beer, but what happens if you combine things? One is subject to beer already, one is not. Vered chadash yigavshu b'shemen yashan. What if you put a new rose in old oil? So it's not, which is not subject to beer. Yilaket et havered, you pull out the rose and consume it before the beer, and then the oil is going to be permitted. Now, why would you not say Tom Ke Iker? The reason, right, seems to be either that it didn't absorb the flavor of the rose, or, well, let's read the next line first. V'yashan v'chadash chayvir, but if it's an old rose and new oil, it is subject to biur. So one possibility is that it just depends right, that it's saying that roses soaked in oil do impart the flavor. And we're going to see that later is going to ask, what's the difference between the sixth and the seventh? And again, what we're going to have to see is later on, the Gemara is going to say, the simple shot of why it would be subject is because it imparted the taste. The simple reason why it wouldn't is it doesn't impart the taste. Why is there a difference between new and old and new? That's what we're going to have to see on Nuntet, because it doesn't seem to make any sense. But hold that thought, because we'll see that in a few daf, because the Gemara is aware of this question. Charuvim chadashim bekevshan yayin yashan. If you have new carob soaked in old wine, vishan v'chadash, chayavin beer. Zeaklal. The rule is, as we just said, kol shen motein tam, if it imparts taste, chayav levayar. Min b'sheino mieno, when it's in another min. Now, again, is this really what it means? We'll have to see in the primary sugya on Nuntet. Well, not the primary sugya, but where the Gemara actually addresses it, because the question should be obvious to everybody. Chai levar, min b'shein omino, umin bimino kolshu. When it's min bimino, where, of course, you can't tell about the taste, in general, machmer bimino, because, right, you can't tell on the taste, because they have the same taste, and it's only the halachic question. So the Gemara then says, shviat oseret kolshu bimina, if you mix in shmita produce with the slightest amount of its own kind, it is aser v'shalom b'mina b'motein tam. And if it's not in its own min, then it's only when it has a taste, which is basically the previous halacha as well. Why are we repeating it? One possibility is just to say that Shemitah is aser even the minutest amount. But the Rash says that you have to distinguish between the iser of destroying or doing business with it and eating it. And the Rosh says, listen, that when it comes to the Isser of doing business with it or destroying it, so then we follow the normal ratio of 1 in 60, even by min bimino. What we're talking about here is specifically in Biur, and it's saying that if a Shviat liquid becomes mingled with a non-Shviat liquid after the Biur deadline, then, sorry, even if it's the minimum, the smallest amount, it makes it all subject to beer. Why would that be? So could it be it's a knas, right? Because you fail to do beer, so we punish you. Right, which we find, you know, in other places as well. Now, of course, you could have come up with other svarot, like right, the Yehuda says that no, it's based on davar sheyesh l'matirin. Right, if you hold like the Ramban, that beer doesn't mean you destroy it. It means that you have to remafkir it. But then once it's hefkir, you could theoretically take it back. Why would it be that by beer, we hold that even the minutest amount is not batel? Because as we know, davar sheyesh l'matirin is in batel. Something that can, you can do it in a mutter way, so do it in the mutter way. So you could have just said, well, the reason that it's not, right, the Isser Schora, you're never going to be able to permit. You're never going to be able to do business with Peir Shviat. So it's subject to the normal rules of Bittel. But by Biur, so if the whole thing's defined as Shemitah, so be Mavarit, right? By Mavatlet again, right? Be Mavkirit again. And then, if you want, right, be Mavkirit for a minute outside your front door and then run out and take it back. Which we'll talk about whether that's legitimate. But in the ninth parak, it seems like there is something like that. That it doesn't have to be necessarily a substantive one where people can actually take it. So that's at least one view in the Achronim of what the Rosh is saying. And the Ran is a different opinion, right? The Ran is the opposite view. That Shemitah produce makes mixtures of its own kind usher only before beer. Meaning that the entire mixture becomes subject to the Isser of Schora and destruction, but after beer, then it's only subject to bittel. Why? Because after the normal zman, now if you don't say that it's mutter, especially if you hold like the Rambam that bittel means destruction, it's davar she'en l'matirin. But before, you're allowed to use it. You just can't do business with it. You can eat it, but you can't do business, which makes it a form of a davar she'en l'matirin. Meaning, it's not really usher. And again, as we mentioned, there are two ways of understanding davar she'en l'matirin. One is Rashi's, which is why use it in usher way, wait for it to be mutter. The other is the Ran's, which is bittel depends on there being a contrast, and therefore, right, between usher and mutter, and therefore the mutter can be vatal the usher part of it. But if you have something deshul matiren, so it's as defined as mutter, because it can be mutter, it's just not mutter yet, and therefore there's no halachic clash between the mutter and the usser for now, and therefore it remains not batel. Now, this is a little bit of a complicated application of it, because it's mutter for certain things, but not for others. Okay, so then the Gemara goes back on the Mishnah's thing, talking about the terebinth, the pistachio, the thorn bush, which are not subject to biur. The reason is because, right, if you leave them unpicked, they'll become inedible, and animals won't be able to eat it. So then the Gemara at this point is assuming that why are they pader from biur? Because they remain attached to the ground, and therefore they're attached to the source. But the Gemara says, okay. But birashit the pirkat amrein ochlen ala ikar. But in the beginning of the parak by loaf, we had said that once the ones in the field become unfit for animals, so you can't eat the ones in your house, just because there are ones which are in the field, right? Which implies that we don't just follow the plant itself. We actually look at which part of it is edible, and part of it is edible and part of it isn't. So the part of it that is is not going to be edible anymore, so it's not subject to, so it's subject to biur. But here you don't say that. So Amrei Pinchas, Taman ein sof al ha'akshar. The case of the wild loaf, the leaf is never going to harden. It always remains distinct, right, from the bulb. Bram hacha sof al ha'akshar. But here, the shoot is also going to harden. Mekeman jukshu nasu kavin. Once they harden, they all become like their source, and therefore they're all given, right, because here it's a different thing. It's, are they different enough? Are the two parts of it different enough to take on different status? And he says here, if you leave it long enough, they will all become the same, and therefore they all take on the same status, and therefore if part of it is patur from biur, then all of it is patur on biur. The gra just deletes the word depirka, right? And it's not asking a contradiction from the case of loaf. It's simply asking a contradiction from the Mishnah itself. The first clause, the Mishnah says the shoots of this service and character are subject to biur, even though the source of them endures the winter. But the next clause, it says the shoots of the terebinth, pistachio, and drumbus are not subject to biur because they endure the winter. And the Gemara says, what makes them different? And it says the shoots in the first group don't harden, but they wither, so they're subject to biur. And the ones in the second one harden, and therefore they're not subject to biur because they're the last of the winter. So Tani, and now the Gemara, once it's talking about this, it talks about, goes back to the terebinth, pistachio, and thornbush. So these shoots, and the adal plant as well, which is some sort of radish-like thing, this, again, the shoots are not subject to biur, but the leaves are. The chulan, shenichsu mishishit l'shvit, if they went from year 6 into year 7, they're defined as shishit, chutz min ha'adal, except for the adal, minishu kiera, because it's a type of a vegetable, and vegetables go by when you pick them. Right, trees go by last year, by chanata, right, by when they start to bud and the fruit begins to emerge. And vegetables go by when they're picked. So the shoots and leaves of the adal, which is a vegetable, go by the year that they are picked. Where these other ones go like the chanata go by the previous year. And Rebbe, oh, B'shem Yochanan, let kan mishisha l'shvit shishit, ela shvit. He says, isn't it the correct text to say that the shoots and leaves of the terebinth, pistachio, and thornbush that entered from the 6th year into the 7th are deemed 6th year? Don't say that, right? He disagrees with this, and he says, no, they are year 7, right? And, right, so then what we'll see tomorrow is the Gemara says, well, why? Right, why are you assuming the year 7, i.e. treating them as a vegetable, right? The previous shita clearly didn't hold them as a vegetable, hold them in chanata, more like fruit, and what we're going to do is try to figure out why that would be the case, and that will take us through much of Nun Ched. It's only really when we get to Nun Ted that we're going to get back to the broader principles of the sugya.